Human Studies History article that I'm familiar with. Anything left behind?
No.
And any evaluation forms for Sarah and Harrison?
Like what?
Not as smart as them.
Well, we're around the corner here. There's less of them.
Yeah, boo.
Okay.
There are less of us.
Okay.
Really
okay.
Should I read it out?
Okay. Have you been generally happy
fine
with your experiences in women's and gender studies? Why or why not?
Are you asking me?
I don't know. Whoever.
I think yes.
Or in a circle.
Yeah.
Sure. Or whoever. Okay. Well, I'm sure. Yeah.
You first.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm happy with I think compared to other disciplines, the experiences have been vastly different in terms of how women's studies have changed and impacted my personal life. Like, you find an interconnection, like, you can apply the things you learn in the classroom to your everyday life, to your personal life, to your identities, as opposed to other classes where it might all be just theoretical or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily change you in the way that you want to.
Well, I've also been really happy with it, and I found, like, I'm a double major, so my other major is English, and I found, like, really sort of big differences between the two departments, because the English department is so large, and women's studies is quite small, so I really get a sense of community here, and I kind of, like, at the beginning of the semester, I remember, like, I'm taking a lot of English classes this semester. I'm only taking two women's studies, and I walked into my first women's studies class after taking a whole three straight English ones, and it was, like, such a relief that I felt, like, walking in, because, I don't know, there was something about the space and the inclusiveness of it that just made me feel so much more comfortable. I don't know, it was really different, and again, the people are different, I found, or at least more willing to talk about, like, issues that I'm more interested in.
I just want to interrupt. I think we were also doing the interview with somebody, and she mentioned that the space with the women's studies classroom is really different, and in terms of it's usually an all-women the classroom is usually all women, and if there is, for example, a male presence, sometimes you feel like you're inhibited in a way that you might not be willing to speak and be as comfortable as you might be if it was all women. I think it's actually a really positive thing, but I just find it interesting that I would inhibit myself, or I would just not be so freely to talk about my feelings.
See, that's interesting, because in one of my classes there's one boy, and he's sort of become like the token boy, and I feel kind of our professor sort of like always looks to him like, what's your opinion? Like, you're not saying anything, and I feel like for him maybe like he does get that sense of like, oh, like I'm supposed to speak, like it's a women's studies class, yeah.
Because yeah, it's fine, like if it was like a male, you know, you feel more.
Yeah, like that's what I'm thinking. Like it's sort of, I get that impression. The class dynamics of that one.
Did you guys have a lot of men in your women's studies 100 class?
Yeah,
sure, I did. More than
about
4 or 5.
Yeah.
We have. That was 4 years ago.
Darryl.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Creepy Chris.
Oh yeah, Creepy Chris.
We had way more. And I was in doctor,
but I only studied
100. And I didn't do 100 classes until
3 years. But I really feel like they didn't take it seriously.
No, I agree. They were taking it for like an easy credit.
And I feel like there's a lot of, and I don't mean to exclude them based on their biology or their gender, but I feel like they're not, they're there for the wrong reasons in a way. No,
the typical.
I don't want to generalize.
Yeah,
right, of course, but
I don't like the way Women's Studies 100 is taught. Maybe it was just my professor, but for me it was like a man-hating course for Women's Studies 100, and I didn't take anything for in second year because it was a 6th grade course, Women's Studies 100, so that was enough for me for a while. And then in third year I just randomly took Becky's class, and I really liked it, and then I changed my major, so.
Well, I think it depends, because my Women's Studies, my professor
at the beginning specifically said, she's like, this is not a man-hating course. I will not tolerate it. We had three guys in our class, one of whom was a women's studies minor. But like after that, like the prof was just terrible. Like she was just a bad teacher, which was really frustrating for a lot of us. And she didn't get hired back. I'm guessing her evaluations were just terrible. It was her first year teaching, Melanie Fogel. She came from the University of Calgary. It was her first year. Last year was her first year, and she didn't get hired back.
Really?
Yeah. Because nobody in the class liked her. We didn't learn anything. I think she scared a lot of people off of women's studies, too.
I think it's difficult, really too, because I've had a few questionable professors, and I think it's because it's hard to attract. There's not a lot of women's studies professors, probably.
Yeah.
And when it's bad, it's so bad. Like, my 224 class was a like, man-hating class. And it was like the first women's studies class I'd ever taken.
Which one was
when did you take it?
It's a lit class. Was that, who did you have for that one?
Dorothy.
I had that as well. I had that in a summer class.
Exactly.
I didn't find it was me.
Oh, I did. She was like really, well, at least the term that I had her, she was really, it was my first women's studies class ever. It was my summer after first year. I just found, maybe not so much man, I thought she was pretty man-hating, but she was, like, very radical, definitely, and very, like, oppressive in her...
She's the kind of person, if you don't agree with her, then she'll, you know, she'll cut you out.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely felt...
She'll call you out on it.
That's like 328, too.
Which is fine.
I just definitely felt like the mark. Yeah.
Oh, man. Sorry. Totally, like, with 328, I totally don't agree. That is like a, if you don't agree with her, then it's
on grading.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
With our paper.
That's why I cried in her office. Because like, she told me. I wrote my paper about Jewish subjectivity, and she told me it was wrong. And I was like, I'm sorry, but you're not Jewish, and I am.
Wow.
And I'm writing about my own experience, and you're telling me that it's wrong. And she was like, well, it is wrong. And I'm like, well, you can't say that. Really.
Oh, yeah.
It's really frustrating. Like, some people got really bad marks on their autobiography. How do you get bad marks on your autobiography?
I was shocked. On my autobiography, I was like,
how can you mark you on your personal experience?
When she said
that's what I don't understand.
What about like the analysis of it, or was it the actual experience itself?
Like some of it was, like the comments. A lot of them, I did well on mine, so I can't complain. But I have a few people. I know a few people who didn't do well at all, and I'm just like, she just some of the comments, like, and on our midterms and stuff, just some of the comments she wrote instead of saying we wrote there as opposed to saying his or her, and she crossed that out and wrote his or her. And like just little things like that, and it's just like, well, there are reasons that we wrote it, and even if we explain the reasons, she's just like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's just shoots you down.
Maybe even in class, like when you comment or something, she would be like, no.
Yeah.
And you would be like,
but I think a lot of us wrote that in our comments last year, so maybe
she hasn't changed.
Oh no.
No.
And like best period. I don't know.
Really,
like,
when did you have shape?
Like, because everyone's looking at me. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong.
No. Like some people love it. Some people love her, some people don't.
Like 327, a lot of like our class, you know,
exactly,
wrote
yeah.
a whole bunch of stuff for Beth, but Beth actually changed the way she approached everything, you know?
Yeah.
So,
because Beth
yeah.
changed a lot.
Because even in my 401 and 440 with Beth, she was incredible.
Great.
Yeah.
She was great.
And right now, too,
she's a good tie-in to the second question, then.
Good job facilitating.
What do you think of the first one, right? Effective teaching structure?
Oh, okay.
Strategies and techniques for you, so kind of ties into like the professor thing.
Should we go the other way?
Were you guys all in the same cohort like last year or something like that?
I guess we've been in almost all the same classes.
Yeah,
right?
With Sarah and Allison and Jen and like almost.
And me.
we were together in 328.
We were together except that year I did
45 and
40. Well, that was the only class I didn't take.
We were all over the place.
Yeah,
I was in UBC like 3 years ago doing women's studies, and so my experience from then and then to now has changed so dramatically.
Yes.
Like before, and I wrote this all in my autobiography, but it was very much like ivory tower, very academic, like whatever. And now that I've actually come back, it's a lot more applied experience and more encouraging towards activism and stuff. So just like the shift over 5 years has really made like it's the actual teaching and the actual curriculum has changed so much. So it's weird, but now like within this focus group, everyone's kind of got the same experience and that kind of thing. So I'm just like,
but no, I don't think we have necessarily the same specific experience, but definitely
I don't. I actually didn't find Beth all, was all that bad. I actually really liked her in 327.
Well, okay.
Because I did well on it.
I think
only because of that. But I mean, she was nice.
Well, I think she was a nice person. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I did well too. But like.
And that's why everybody said they love her. It's just the structure of her class was really bad.
And it's so much better now. But yeah, and it worked out that she changed it.
To go with your question.
It does go. How did she find that her instruction was ineffective then?
What I find different is that she, okay, well, some people pointed out that she showed this slide of an Aboriginal man. It was meant to not be used as a display of a body, but it was just meant to show. And some people had a problem with it. And I just find, you know, like, there are certain times when you, yes, you have a problem with certain things, but it's like, if you have a problem with everything, it's becoming like a personal attack on her. And she, because I interviewed Beth, and she said, like, a lot of the comments made were on her, not on her teaching.
Personally.
It was on her personal.
Which is so sad because she is such a nice
She is an amazing.
I think in terms of structure, one of the problems was, and she even said this, she had never taught anything but a 3-hour class before. Because she comes from U of T,
or York. She comes from
York, and she only taught 3-hour seminar classes. For her to teach in an hour and a half, she felt really constricted. She was late a lot too.
She was
late like almost every class, which when it's only an hour and a half really makes a big
difference. Wasn't even an hour and a half? I thought it was an hour 3 times.
Oh, it was an hour. It was an hour 3 times a week. Yeah. So being 10 minutes late and then 10 minutes of like fumbling with the AV.
It just did not work. Like, that was just a bad semester.
But then in my 3-hour classes with her, she was phenomenal. So
327, though, it was an hour and a half. It was Tuesday.
It was right after Becky's class.
It was Tuesday and Thursday.
Becky always had Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah, Becky doesn't come to campus like on Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yes, for sure.
I'm going to go back and
okay. You can do it right now.
No, but whose structure did you like the best? I personally really like the way Becky structures.
I like Becky. But
just because you know what to do from the very first day of the term.
I know. You guys had this discussion. I want to know what you think about Becky's class.
Which one? Like, because again, with the switch, like, I took Becky's 326 class when I was first at UBC, and then now I'm taking your
326
class again, because I dropped out of it halfway through, in part because of the teaching style, and in part because I found it so just, like, highfalutin academic, like, very much, oh, there's pollutant. It was so alienating to be in that class. It was actually a really, really big class. I think they've actually got the class size down as well. When I took it, there was about 50 people.
Wow.
And it was her standing at the front of the class being like, women's studies is the best, and, you know, these are all the things that are wrong with the world, and kind of like academia has all the solutions to everything, but then not actually sort of offering any. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very much like a state of, like, very much like professor privilege over in the class, and she definitely, like, she talked down to a lot of students. And it was very unfortunate. She would kind of like build people up and then break them down again, and just like, it was weird. And I just really hated the whole experience because it felt like there was absolutely nothing sort of real and practical happening there. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel in a lot of my other classes now, when it's just like, that are not in women's studies. Like, I find women's studies has changed so much.
So when you took her class again this time, did you feel like it had changed?
It's absolutely changed.
Yeah.
And just like, it's a lot more of like looking at actual like real life things that are happening, giving a lot more like actual involvement with the community. Like, she's had people come in and actually show like, hey, here are some of the things that are happening, you know, in the world right now. People that are actually doing the work that we're talking about, which is so much better. And that's like, I remember being at Langara College and doing a lot of that kind of stuff, and they were just like, I was like, I wish UBC could be like this.
Oh, that's a really valuable
experience.
Yeah. I think we should definitely.
I find that with the rest of my classes, like, I find that in women's studies, probably just because I've just come into it, you know, that my women's studies classes are so based on practice, or they're trying to be based on practice, because there's this like really big gap between theory and praxis in women's studies, or at least there has been. And now I find it
starting.
Exactly. Now when I take other classes, I'm just like, give me something to do. This is so academic, and so, not to say that women's studies isn't academic, because it's definitely academic, but at least now there's like, I think, especially with Sanera's practicum, there's like so many people.
I'm gonna do that.
They really want you to get involved in the community.
That's really good. And that's a new thing.
I think so, yeah.
Practicum?
Yeah, I think it just started. I think they try to shut it down every year, too, because it's like cap fail.
Yeah.
So, it has a hard time passing.
Center on international women's day. She's doing her practicum.
And Anna and Kelly are both doing their practicum.
I don't know, she's just did it. She was
one did you keep in Shelley? And, oh, and Laura. Yes, we know.
That was awkward. That was awkward thing ever.
Breffiana?
Yes.
Who is that? Why did I know these people?
I know
these people. Let's move on. Because we don't want this discussion being tape recorded. So.
That's true.
Let's just keep going.
Okay. So what about Wangs have inspired you, for example, forming your perspectives and concerns about the world outside? I feel like, you know, we kind of talked about it, I think.
Yeah. More of it just like, the actual, like, getting political, like, and getting politically involved. The book that I'm doing the review on right now is very much against that, and they're saying, like, you know, women's studies is indoctrinating people into a feminist ideology, you know, which is unfortunate. It's like, and I can see their point that this whole, the whole program is very politically motivated, and so they say that that has no place in academia, whereas women's studies argues that it's all through academia, it's just not spoken about, I guess. So I find that interesting, how women's studies is so, so overtly political. Every once in a while, like, I have a problem with that when it gets to a point where it's like, you only have to think this way, and if you don't, like, there's sort of an underlying assumption that you will become a feminist by the end of this.
Yeah.
Entire
or that you already are when you go in.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like the fact that I am, it really poses no huge problem to me, so I'm quite happy to exist in this, you know what I mean? So it's hard to kind of negotiate that, but I have been, like, I found that I have a lot more tools and words and, like, ability to express myself politically and whatnot.
So. I was just going to say, like, I never really thought about being a feminist. Like, I guess I knew that I was growing up. I never just really thought about it. And then when I went into women's studies, like, I would tell people, yeah, I'm in women's studies, and I'd be like, oh, I'm so not surprised. Like, I totally am not surprised. And I would think, like, why are you not surprised? Because I'm kind of surprised that I'm in it. And then I realized, like, okay, so these people always, I guess, saw me as a feminist, and it just gave me, like, the words and tools to express myself through this field, you know? And it gave me, like, the ability to do real introspection and think, like, okay, what do I think? Why do I think that? What has made me to think that? Whereas, like, I don't think there's many, I know if I was taking biology, I would never think about my own. I would never have any kind of personal development, probably.
Yeah, and isn't, like, again, thinking that, oh, you know, university political, like, it's all navel-gazing, introspection, whatever, but it's like, I'm just, like, you know, banding about what I've heard, but the fact that these are your formative years of your life, right, being in college, so it's like, may as well, you're in a program that is actually helping you become an informed person in the world and able to affect your environment and that kind of thing.
I totally agree with you. Like, what else are you learning in college? Like, with a BA? Like, I don't really think anyone else is learning anything more important than
we
are.
I say that BA stands for Bureaucracy Administration, and that's I've learned how to cut through red tape pretty easily. Or at least how to not get frustrated with red bureaucracy.
One thing you only, I think, you hear about every type of culture's life and how they deal with things in the real world, and other than history, really, and I guess political science, and that's pretty much it. Like, where else are you going to learn? Like, English, like, really, what do we really learn with an English major, you know? Like, or even
stuff. But, like, I think even with, like, history and
you learn, like, not lived.
I think that even with history and political science, those two topics are very institutionalized. And it's, like, a lot of formalized information that you're receiving. Like, I was having this discussion with somebody after class yesterday, and I was just saying that, you know, reading a history of an entire group in a book is completely different to talking to someone about their own lived experience, which is what we do in women's studies. I think it's given us those tools to connect personally with somebody, and I think, for me at least, it's given me, I guess, it's made me a more passionate, I think it's made me a more stronger person, women's studies has. Just because it's given me those tools to defend myself, to defend my beliefs, but not to do it in one of those, like, I mean, you'll always get the people being like, so you, like, burn your bra and hate men, and, you know, I'm always going to come up across that, but, I mean, it's given me the tool to just, like, defend why I'm doing it. And why I'm studying this.
It also gets you used to having to do it.
Exactly. It really does. And I think it also just goes to show who supports you and who doesn't. And
totally.
Who supports your beliefs. Like,
That's so true.
It's amazing the reactions that I get from people. From people I don't expect.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get the good reactions from people I expect really not to get them from, and then it's the exact opposite.
I find that the biggest reaction that I get, especially from my friends and family, for example, my dad. I would definitely consider my dad a feminist, for sure. My mom has always worked. For a long time, my dad was a stay-at-home dad, and my mom worked, and, it was total this, role reversal, whatever. But sometimes we'll be talking about things, and this is obviously to do with the fact that he's 55 years old and, can't teach an old dog new tricks to a certain extent, whatever. And I'll say something, and he'll be like, not everything is about women's studies.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm just but it is. Really?
It is.
I not everything is about women's studies, but women's studies is about everything.
Exactly.
It is.
I love that women's studies has given me this new lens to look at the world through. I find that when I watch things on TV or whatever, I have this whole new set of ability to really interpret it through, as opposed to just being what's the word?
The passive
consumer.
Sponging.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I ask you guys an honest question? It's one of the stereotypes about feminists is humorless feminists, but it's I have noticed certain things that I thought were funny before. I don't think that they're funny because they're racist or they're sexist or whatever. And it's so now I actually do kind of feel I'm a bit of a humorless feminist in that way. But it's I still have a good sense of humor about things that are actually funny. I don't know. It's just hard because
you're always going to think of it. But maybe we're more immune to it now, like you said, we've learned about it more. But
so it's I'm more.
But it doesn't mean we're humorless.
Exactly.
So I feel
where it's coming from. If you notice someone is in your class, or she's a feminist, or he's a feminist, and you know that what that person is saying is not actually what they're believing in, then you would probably laugh, and you know, pass by. But you don't know that person, you might think it's the actual idea of the belief, then you would get offended.
Or something. I just feel that it's certain friends would tell certain jokes, and I used to laugh at them, and now I don't anymore, because now I'm just but then I'll ask them, why are you telling that joke? What is that all about? Kind of thing.
I think we're more human. We're sensitive to the fact that we're
exactly.
People,
But I think sometimes we need, there's a fine line between
We make fun of it too. We always have problems.
We
robber and
ourselves.
We are just
that's really important. And sometimes we have to suspend our own.
Yeah. You also have to think about, where is the source coming from, right? There's a big difference, me making a joke about an ethnicity that is not my own, than me making a joke about, Judaism or whatever, even though maybe theoretically that's not okay, but at the same time, you are operating within a specific space that it's okay to do that.
So just becoming more aware of that kind of stuff is, there was an actual noticeable switch in my brain that went off, I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cool.
Well, it's really bad. We were sitting in the Women's Study Center watching the Russell Peters skit from Comedy Central, and we were just laughing our asses off, and then suddenly we're we really shouldn't be laughing at this. But at the same time, serious. And he makes fun of everyone.
Do you find Margaret Cho funny? Because she's attractive.
I find Margaret Cho.
I'm
going to
go
see
her.
I think she really depends on the person.
She was?
Yeah, she's coming.
Friday.
What time is she going to be? I don't know. Where is it?
It's at the Queenie Theater.
Okay.
Yeah. She's going to be so funny.
Yeah.
Crap, is it in the evening?
Yeah, 8:00.
Oh,
it's the same time, so
we're so
screwed.
Oh, well, moving on.
Great.
The next question.
Is it what parts of the
How have identity politics around race, past sexuality, gender affected you within WIG? Politics around race, class, identity politics.
I think it's made me...
I identify as a South Asian woman.
More strongly, you mean?
More strongly than
what do you mean? Why would you...
I don't identify as Canadian, ever. Even though I've lived here a majority of my life, I was born in Sri Lanka. I went to school there, I speak the language. And I've always identified as solely Sri Lankan. And if anybody asks, I say I live in Canada. And so I think, I think
it's there.
Well, I totally understand, other people see it a completely different way, but that's just mostly for me. And I think,
women's studies, I guess maybe be more in tune with like racial issues and issues of identity, and like how do I really identify myself? Like it's only recently that I really started thinking about how I identify myself.
So. See, it's different. Like I'm different with different crowds of people. If I'm with my Taiwanese friends, I strongly identify as Taiwanese. I don't identify as Canadian, but when it's with other people, like I was with my girlfriend at Fountainhead on Davie, and this white man comes up to her and is like, kamasta and konnichiwa. So he thought I was Japanese, and he thinks my girlfriend is Filipino. So he got her ethnicity, or her race right, but he didn't get my race right. And he asked me, like, I'm like, I'm not Japanese. And he said, well, what are you then? I'm like, well, I'm Canadian. I didn't want to reveal myself in that way. I didn't want to say I'm Taiwanese, because I don't want him to, you know what I mean? Like,
because then he can sort of, like,
exactly. Then he can, like frame and
well, I think so, based on the color of your skin, people always do that. Oh, where are you from? You say Canada. They want to know where you're really from.
Exactly.
Yeah, you always get that. Yeah, that pisses me off, too, but
I mean, in your case,
it pisses me off because I know, like, other friends have to deal with it, but I automatically answer that question as Sri Lankan.
Because if you're saying where you're from, it's where you're born, right? Technically, like, if that's what it is, when you say where you're from. I mean, that's how I would take it as.
Well, and also, like, I mean, at UBC, lots of people, they're just like, where are you from? And half the time, I'm just like, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, because I live on campus, but I don't actually, when I say
Sam, you say Surrey, you want them to stay away from you? Is that why you say Surrey?
Surrey, the Surrey girl is saying this to me.
I live out here now, I move.
But like, it's a very complicated, like, that's the thing, like, with women's studies, I've learned that I have a very complicated identity.
Yeah.
That it's not just one thing.
It's not just one thing, it's like a series of fluidity and support. She would take up a page if I got to tell you who I was.
So. Which is why I don't understand how Lisa can, like, give you a bad grade. it's so complex. How does anyone judge and interpret and give you a grade?
Especially in that class. Like, just the way what the class is.
It's
like,
subjectivity.
Subjectivity. Like, and you're not being subjective.
Yeah.
I mean, the other problem, I think, with 328 is the focus on the one culture. I think it needs to be expanded, and I wrote that in my autobiography too. Because in all the other classes that we've had, like we talk about every culture, like we don't, you know.
Yeah, this is the only Chicana culture. That's true.
Yeah.
I've never heard anyone about Chicana culture in any of my other classes. So that's what I was kind of excited about. That, like, I think it really depends on the professor. Like, each professor brings their own flavor into the class, like, and their own sort of ideas. And it's like, okay, well, you know, I have a specialization in, like, say if I were going to teach a class, my sort of specialization is like the medical system and that kind of thing. So that would, it would have sort of like a medical lens on a lot of different things. So,
but see, being
that she's familiar with this kind of literature, so perhaps she wants to go close. I kind of feel like if that's the case, that like Yvonne Brown teaches her specialized course on women in Africa. We had a special topic course on gender and Islam.
Yeah,
so it's like a separate thing. Like, she can teach the Chicana literature as a
she's
course.
She's teaching
specifically for that.
She's teaching 224.
224, yeah.
Exactly. But, like, and that's probably
the series of subjectivity course. Like, it's a very, it's first of all, it's a required course, and second of all, it's something that it can touch on so many different things. I feel like I would connect more personally if it had something maybe of any kind of Asian literature.
Yeah, it's for sure. Wanted to have more.
And maybe that's why some of us are struggling with it too, you know? Because either we don't understand the culture, or we don't get where she's coming from.
Or, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I see totally your point that it's theories of subjectivity, so you can touch on a whole
range of subjectivity.
Yeah. That's something I guess we can put in our
evaluation.
Yeah.
What parts of curriculum have been most beneficial, which were least? What curricular gaps do you see, and how could these be filled?
Sorry, what was the first part?
What parts of curriculum have been most beneficial and least?
I guess we touched on the theory. I like the theory. I think the theory has been beneficial, and also how to work that theory into practice. I wish there was a little bit more of that. Like, I found that I've missed out on actually being taught how to write a paper and how to formulate that within a women's studies sort of environment. So I think for like a suggestion for another class would be a like writing within a feminist discourse or something like that. It's like a second year class or something. Like some kind of
to prepare for later. Like to have a like part of our English requirement or something. That would be like a
really interesting.
So she asked Mary for a 325 a writing, like a feminist writing course?
Yeah. Cool. Because you really could take, like, here's a practical ways on, like, how to take theory and then put it into writing. But you had to learn that in, like, second year kind of thing. Because I found there was, like, nothing like that. Even.
There aren't a lot of second year women's studies classes, like,
yeah.
in general.
Yeah.
But you know how you were saying about Becky's class and how, like, the language, the way it's all structured is, like, even to learn how to write a proper paper for that level.
Becky, that really teaches you.
No, and Becky teaches you how to do that, but maybe rather than waste time doing it there, we can have, like a course that prepares you for that type thing, you know?
Or just not even the first one. Because now I know that if I were to get into like writing grants or that kind of thing,
you can do it.
Like, practical life skills, which I'm super stoked about. But I took this really cool sociology and pop culture course at Langara that actually really taught us about. They gave us little assignments. Okay, read this and now connect this to this and apply this like literature to this and short answer questions and stuff. And that would be really cool in like a women's studies format to read the short piece of literature, like a theoretical text, and then here's like a real life example like out in the world, and can you apply this theory to this life experience and put them together, like weave them like that. I think that would be so cool to learn, because that's what we are doing in our academic papers, but we're not really taught how. We just like get the comments back.
Yeah, I agree.
And so that's a bit of a handicap when you're like suddenly thrown into like, okay, now third year, like quick write the paper. And
A lot of things that we write, let's say I want to write something on like development, and then put in quotes, I don't believe this is a development field, I don't write because I don't believe in that. Right?
Yeah.
And if I present that to a woman studies class, they won't know what I'm talking about. But let's say one of my classes, which is student director class, between English and women's studies class, and like they.